This is the weekly message from Restoration Church in Odessa, Texas. If you would like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.restoreodessa.com. There you can also give financially to support the ministry. Now, here's this week's message.
You know, our speaker this evening is someone I've gotten to know quite well over the last 14 years. Jeanette and I had the privilege of serving on staff with him in Amarillo at San Jacinto Assembly of God as his associate pastors. And it was a great time of learning and growing under him. And, you know, one thing what we said when we stepped into ministry is that we weren't going to take a position just because it was a stepping stone. And so we concluded that we would be there until God said otherwise. And we had felt from the Lord that we wouldn't leave there until we were lead pastors. And so we stayed at San Jacinto and served with Pastor Billy, and it was so much fun. I learned a lot, and when you really get to know him, he's quite the jokester and comedian. I'll just tell one quick story just because it's fun. I came back from vacation one time. Actually, I'll give you two stories. I came back from vacation one time, and I go in my office, set my things down, and I sit down in my chair, and you know, first thing in the office, you got to have a cup of coffee, right? So I had my cup of coffee. I was, you know, getting ready to drink that, and I leaned back in my chair. Boom. He had taken one wheel out of my chair so that I met the ground. Then one other experience. I don't remember if it was coming back from vacation or what it was, but I go to open my office, and I unlock it, pull on the knob, and the whole door comes with it. He had taken the hinges out of my door. And so that's the kind of relationship we had. We had a lot of fun, and we saw God do some amazing things over the last 14 years. And I am honored to have him here at Restoration Church tonight to speak into our lives. So can you give a warm West Texas welcome to the newly elected presbyter of the North Plains section, Pastor Billy Snyder.
He forgot I have the mic last here, so. Well, it's an honor to be here this evening. It's good to see Jeanette and Oliver today. And they, as he has spoken, they've been with us, or they were with us in San Jacinto Assembly of God, 14 of the 18 years we were there, or that we are still there. They've left. But it was great having them. They did just an excellent job. When y'all took them, you took my right arm. And so it's been a learning experience for me this last year. But God has prevailed. I knew there would be a day that he would call them somewhere else. And I didn't want to be the guy that would hold them back under guilt and tell him how old I was getting, how much I needed him. And I didn't know how to do anything without him and all that stuff. So we just let him go. And y'all got him. He's doing a great job here. What a wonderful facility. Y'all have a wonderful pastor and a pastor's wife. And we do miss them at San Jacinto. I'm there for a long time. It's kind of like my wife when I left Stinnett. All they wanted to know was about her. They never asked anything about me. Same thing with the office. They always want to talk about them and not anything about me. I'm used to it. I'm okay. But God's good. And I love what he's doing with this young couple. We watched their daughter actually from the age 4 to 18. And when she got there, she was about this tall and I could look down on her. And when she was, probably hit the third grade, I was going like this, but I don't know. But I mean, watch that young lady grow up into a fine young woman. So it's been a wonderful time with them, special friends to us. And it is good to see Brother Hanks, Sister Hanks, and Starnes with us this evening and others that he mentioned. Thank you for being here tonight. God is good. Amen. I'm not usually preaching on Monday night, so I look back there. There's no clock, so I have no idea how long it's going to be. But turn with me tonight to Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 12, and we'll start out there this evening covering those verses. When you're there, say amen. It says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrines of baptisms, of laying on hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of the eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucified again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinks in the rain and often comes up on it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated receives blessings from God. But if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you, yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you to show the same diligence to the full assurance of the hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who, through faith and patience, inherit the promise. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We praise you, God. Lord, we thank you for your presence, Lord, this evening during the worship service and in this place. And Lord, we pray, God, tonight that you would just touch our hearts through the preaching of the word. Lord, we pray for the anointing to fall. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I read an article on the website. It's called Christianity.com. It was titled, "Is the American Church the Frog in the Kettle?" And it went like this. It was written by Daniel Henderson. Many times over the years, I've read and heard the church experts describe the American church as a frog in the kettle. The illustration tells us that if you drop a frog in the kettle of boiling water, it will jump out immediately in reaction to the pain. On the other hand, if you put the frog in the water that is in room temperature and slowly heat it, the frog will remain in the kettle and eventually cook to death. This is a good time to revisit the ideal in the light of the events that signal the decline of Christianity in our nation. It is important that we understand that water in which the frog is cooking is not the culture. The danger to the frog is not other religions or beliefs. To believe this is to conclude that there's worldviews are more powerful than the message of the cross. Can I just insert here? There's nothing more powerful than the message of Jesus Christ. Amen? We are anointed from above. We have the message from above. And there's nothing greater than that. It's time that the church understands that once again, that we are not defeated foes. Hallelujah. But our message is powerful. Our message is anointed. And God is doing a work through it. The creator of all heaven is on our side. Amen. Isn't that something to rejoice about this evening? I believe, this guy goes on, he says, I believe the water in which we are boiling is our spiritual apathy, missional indifference, and prayerless irreverence. In essence, he's saying the frog stands in danger of boiling in its own water, just as Jesus warned some of the churches in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. In their dangerous spiritual conditions, we too must recognize our need and responsibility of the time that we live in, and we must accept that responsibility and realize we have been appointed for such a time as this. Oh, my friend, today we have a need of God to move in our nation. We have a need for God to move in the church once again. It's time programs are, I don't mind programs, but it's time the Holy Ghost comes down in the midst of everything that we're doing, and we see amazing things take place. I'm just telling, there's hope for the church. Truly, though, but if we are honest, we are seeing a meltdown of Christianity in America. COVID literally did not do the declining church in America any favors. I, as a pastor, I seen that in my own church. It didn't do us any favors because we were already declining. And what is being projected for the church in America, depending on whether religious switching continues at a recent rate, speeds up or stops entirely. And listen to this. This is what got me. The projection shows Christianity of all ages shrinking from 64% to be between little more than half, 50% eventually. And just one third, 35% of all Americans by 2070. Now, I won't be here in 2070. But some of you might be, if the Lord tarries. If the church in America keeps going like it is literally becoming nothing more than a flickering light instead of a roaring blaze. That's sad. When we really think about who is on our side and think about all that comes down from heaven, the anointing that falls from above, when we truly think about what's happening in the church today, It should make a person or a church say, how can we reverse this lukewarmness today in our lives and in the church? How can we reverse this lukewarmness that's taken place? Well, our passage this evening very seldom is preached because of its controversial content. In this passage, we'll find great wisdom that will help us stay on fire for the Lord, I believe. And so we're going to cover a few moments, a few minutes into that. I believe there, as we look at the passage, there's two spiritual states to avoid in Hebrews chapter 6 that we should not go on, one in our life. The first one is remaining a beginner. Remaining somebody that just got saved. I believe that's one of the things that we're having an issue with the church today is remaining with that confession prayer, that repentance prayer. And one of the states we want to avoid, spiritual immaturity. A good example of this is found in an incident described by Ethel Barrett in her book, It Only Hurts When I Laugh. She said that when D.L. Moody became a Christian, he developed such a hunger for God's Word, spent so much time reading it, and was so quick to obey it that he became a menace to some believers. His rapid spiritual growth was an embarrassment to certain people who, though they had been saved for years, never grew up in Christ. Week after week in the church Moody attended, he would share a new experience he had with the Lord. And finally, some of the older saints who just couldn't stand feeling humiliated by his zeal and zealous life went to Moody's uncle and urged him to quiet down his nephew. Wouldn't you like to have a few of those in the church? Ethel Barrett drew this conclusion about Moody. His robust spiritual health and bounding energy disturbed their napping. He was just too much. So while they were sucking their thumbs, he was growing up until he left them far behind. He grew more in a few years than they did in 30 years. One of the things that we can do to avoid what's happening in the church today is that it's time to grow up. I mean, you know, we live in a culture today that men stay boys for quite some time. We live in a culture today that we need to grow up a little bit. Amen. And the church needs to take on the responsibility of growing. We can't stay where we were when we first got saved. I've been saved for quite some time. I can't be the same man that came down to the altar that night in April and be the same man 30 years later or 35 years. We have to be growing in our walk. If we want overflow in our life, it's going to take somebody to start growing in Jesus. We can't stay babies and grow. Amen. We need God to do something in our lives. We have to have an overflow, and we have to have the responsibility of growing up. The writer here literally speaks of growing in the Lord. Let us go on to perfection, speaking of maturing in our relationship with God. Get grounded in the Word of God. It is a sword, amen? It is a lamp under your feet and a light under your path. Hallelujah. It's the Word of God that should guide us every day. That lamp under our feet, each day we should look and say, what's the Word of God hath for me today? But at the same time, it's a light under the path that I'm on that direction. I'm going that way because it's going to guide my life and direct me. Hallelujah. I'm saying today it's time to grow up if we're going to bypass being lukewarm. Another bypass here is becoming spiritually dead. And remaining a babe can lead you to this state. If we don't mature in the Lord, we have this opportunity to become dead in the Lord. The language in verse 4 and 5, listen, Hebrews 6, 4 and 5, it says, for it is impossible for those who once were enlightened, heard the word and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, accepted the message and have tasted the good word of God. Can I tell you, when you hear the word and you come down and you receive it, you have tasted the good word of God. Doesn't it taste good? Hallelujah, the word of God is powerful. I thank God for the word. The language of one who has been saved is what spoke up here. It's not beating around the bush. This is talking about someone that had a relationship with Christ, gave their life to Christ. Oh, ask God to forgive them of their sins. They heard the message of Jesus Christ, received it with joy, is what he's speaking of. tasted of that good thing. I'm going to tell you, I've never tasted anything better than Jesus. Amen. I love food. Your pastor loves food. I can tell you just about everything he'll order when we go to different places. But I'm going to tell you, there's nothing tastes better than Jesus. Amen. Tasted of the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. Good stuff. We're not talking about God's love here, nor His grace. We're talking about salvation in this scripture. We're talking about being saved on our way to heaven, which in order to have, you must believe on the atoning work of the cross of Calvary, the blood of Jesus. That's what paid for our sin, was the atoning work of the blood on the cross of Calvary. It's what it costs. Nothing else could pay that. All right, we're not talking about grace. We're talking about the blood. You are covered by the blood, not the grace. Come on, we've twisted that word around so bad. I get it. The Bible says saved by grace through faith. Ephesians 2:8, for grace by are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It is the gift of God. But at the same time, we understand that where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. That is not to cover you as you sin more, but that is to keep you out of sin. The grace of God is the divine influence from above that caused me to come up and call Jesus my Lord and Savior. I didn't get saved because somebody told me. The Holy Ghost came down upon me. The grace of God came down upon me. And I received the message of Jesus. Hallelujah. But the blood covered me. Amen. You can't go to heaven without the blood. The denomination doesn't get you there. Going to church every week doesn't get you there. You've got to be covered by the blood. And these people that have been wrote about here in this passage had been covered by the blood. It says, who have tasted the goodness and who then, listen to what it says, turned away from God. We all can turn away from our decision in Christ. We all can go backwards. We're talking of a state of apostasy. Totally saying, I've been there, done that, and I don't want any part of it. I was talking to a man one time that used to go to Assembly God Church, and he told me, I'll never go back there. He says, I've spoken tongues, I've done all this, but I'll never go there again. I'll never do anything with God again. I thought, I feel sorry for you, sir. Is it possible? Yes, it is. All of you may know somebody once served God at one time, but now they're not. And this is what's been written. This is who's been addressed. In content, we're talking about Jews converting back to the old system of salvation, which now is obsolete because Jesus made it obsolete when he went to the cross of Calvary. He was and is the Passover lamb. He'll be the one that we see when we get to heaven. Looking over there, it looks like a lamb that's been slain. Hallelujah. That's our Jesus, our God in the midst of heaven. Right there. Oh, how many of you looking for that day? We get to see him. Woo! It's going to be a good time. Amen. When we get to see our Lord. They are saying, after further thinking and being persuaded by their friends, that they decided no longer to accept that sacrifice. Can I tell you, when we decide not to accept the sacrifice of Jesus, there's no hope for us. And this is what's being spoke of. And I tell you, this condition can happen to anybody today. This contradicts the once saved, always saved. Their doctrine is wrong. It's not right. It's going to send a lot of people to hell. Once saved, always saved. Adams Clark commentary says this, it appears from this, whatever sentiment may gain or lose by it, that there's a fearful possibility of falling away from the grace of God. If this scripture did not say so, there are many that do say so, and where there are no scriptures expressed on this subject, the nature of the present state of man, which is a state of probation. Whoa, what a thought. He says the present state of man is a state of probation. Now, I haven't ever been on probation, but I've heard about it. I've talked to some people about it. When you're on probation, you've got to act right. Amen. You got to live right. You got to watch who you hang out with, right? You just can't go do whatever you want to. And what he's saying in this commentary, when we get saved, we're almost on a state of probation. I know it doesn't preach well. It doesn't build crowds. But I'm going to tell you, it's the truth from God's word. It speaks of the fact that we need to live right. We need to love right. We need to watch what we say, our conversations. Scripture says many times over, put to death the things of the flesh. So here we are, and we're finding that reference. Let me get a scripture or two. I'm trying to move on because I know that I can hang out a while. John 15:6 says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. Talking about from the vine. Philippians 2:12 says, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. John 1:12 says this, but as many as received him, to them he gave power to become sons of God. Power to become. Romans 11:19-21, it says, Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in? Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear, for if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also not spare thee. That's talking about Israel. Talking about the Jewish people. And we've been grafted into that plant. Hopefully, I've stirred your thinking up just for a minute with these scriptures. Because listen, I'm not here to hurt anybody. I just want to preach tonight. Amen? I want to preach the word of God. But because you can see, even though we as the assembly of God don't believe once saved, always saved, many live as if they do. Amen? It's true. I've been pastoring for quite some time. Oliver wrote, I've been pastoring almost 30 years. I've actually been pastoring over 30 years. He missed it. I've watched a lot of things in those years, and I know you guys have too. But I'm going to tell you today, there is such a thing as losing your salvation. The writer of Hebrews wasn't just trying to browbeat anybody or make them feel bad. He was trying to stir up his audience to let them know their salvation must be continually maintained and protected. He was starting out, but he didn't finish bad with this passage of Scripture. I'm going to give you three things tonight, four things you can do to stay strong in Christ. Because I believe there's something that we must, if we want to have an overflow in our life, I believe we need to be in the position to receive the overflow that comes. Amen? We don't just walk in and it's like, hey, God, just fill me up. I've watched people come to the altar for being filled with the Holy Spirit, and they walk down and they're not even worshiping the Lord. And they think, well, pastor, just put your hand on me and I'm going to be filled. And I'm thinking, this is not going to happen. Why? Because there's something that must take place. First, you need to be saved. And the next thing, you need to be worshiping the baptizer. Amen. And when you worship the baptizer, that's when the Holy Ghost comes down upon you. If you're seeking to be filled, I'm going to tell you, get in love with Jesus. Worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, let him know what you're talking about, because he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You come down hungry. First thing I want to speak of is keep on keeping on. I know that sounds a little bit Texan, doesn't it? Just keep on keeping on. Verses 9 through 11 speaks of that. It says, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you than things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your works and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance until the end. The same, listen to what he's saying here. The same diligence until the end. The same attitude. I'm going to tell you, I showed you that illustration about Moody, and Moody did that until the day he breathed his last breath. Do you know there's some folks that they get saved and they just keep on going in the Lord. Oh, it's all about Jesus. Oh, we see them all the time, and they just keep on clicking. I buried a lot of folks at my church, and I'm going to tell you, a lot of them ran across that finish line still on fire for Jesus. I buried a 100-year-old lady. Her name was Nadine Davis, and oh, I loved that saint. Oh, when the Holy Ghost would move, she'd give a message in tongues, and it was King James coming out. Thou saith the Lord, and everybody would just kind of, wow, what's happening there? But I'm just saying today, 100 years old, God's still moving her on her in the midst of the service. And she would have things open. We was having a meeting one day talking about changing some things in the church. And Nadine says, well, I'm getting too old. Let's just get it done before I die. Now, that is unusual for a church, a person that's been there all those years. I'm just saying, the whole ideal here is what's presented in this scripture is that you have been doing good. Keep doing what you're doing. Let it grow on you. Become that person. There's not that time for retirement. You may change jobs. You may switch, but there's no such thing as not going after God all your life. Amen? Going after Jesus, because He wants you to go after Him. Hallelujah. Going after the Lord. I was watching my daughter way back there, Amanda, watching running cross country. And she wasn't winning. She wasn't like her dad. But there was a young lady. She was in front of everybody. And she was running. And you could tell she was giving it all she had for those last 15, 30 yards, whatever it may have been. And all of a sudden, you're seeing her body locked down. I mean, you could see her muscles get so tight. And I thought, this is not good. And then she just passed out right on the ground. And I thought, how sad to run, I think it was 2 miles or something like that, and be ahead. And at the very end of the race, not get to go across the finish line. They had to revive her. I mean, her health, they made sure it was all right, but she didn't get to finish the race. And I thought to myself, because this is the way preachers think, and, you know, I thought, what a sermon. And this is what spoke up here, is that here we go. I mean, we've been running a race for a while. I don't know how long you've been saved, but what's been spoke up in the scripture is to keep on keeping on, and you keep on going until you cross that finish line. Oh, my word. I don't know about you, but I want to go across with full power when it comes time to finish that race. Paul told, yeah, amen, we want to keep on going. Paul told Timothy, I've fought a good fight. I've finished the race. Paul went across. He was still on fire for Jesus, even though he'd been in prison and he was about to lose his life. And he said, I've been poured out for Jesus. Hallelujah. And he was on fire. Oh, hallelujah. To be on fire for the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. If we're going to have overflow, we need to stay on fire. Amen? We need to have it in our life. We need to have it in our spirit. We need to have it in our worship service. Oh, wasn't that good a while ago? The Holy Ghost was moving. Oh, He was in the house. Amen? Just being on fire for the Lord. Next thing is, don't be lazy in your relationship. Don't be lazy in your relationship. Verse 12 says, slothful. I know I'm using the New King James, and I have to interpret my own words. But sluggish. Sluggish. I watched the sloth video one time. Took me forever. It was like, whoa. The Bible says don't be sluggish. In other words, don't be lazy. Don't be lazy in what you're doing for God. Give God the best. Be very attentive to your relationship with the Lord. We can't pray whenever we want to pray. Amen? We can't come to church whenever we feel like it. Come on, we can't give whenever we feel like it. Oh, I'm getting in trouble. We can't just semi-worship. I'm going to tell you some of my best worship services of my life when I didn't feel like worshiping. There's been days I haven't felt like going to church on Sunday, but somebody said I had to pastor, I was a preacher, so I had to come up and show up. But I'm going to tell you, it's been those days when I haven't felt like it, that Jesus shows up and He gives me the energy and the anointing to do what He called me to do. Amen? It's those days that make a difference in my life. Hallelujah. We can't be more about the world than we are about God's kingdom. If we're going to be sluggish, that's what we'll be. We can't just seldom read our Bible. We need to get in our Bible. We need to get in the Word and let the Word get in us. Because the Word is what changes our lives. We can't be backslidden and yet still be saved. I know this is hard preaching. I'm just saying today the Bible says we should not be sluggish in our relationship. Why? Because we don't want to be those people that we just talked about in the earlier, the one of the message. We want to be somebody on fire for Jesus. When I was a mechanic a long time ago, and I still do a little mechanic on the side. I used to mechanic for Todd when he went down to the Roaring Springs. What was that little Jeep looking thing you had? Every time I get it fixed, he'd tear it up, huh? That's it. He ran out all over the place. But I still mechanic. I got a Jeep. If you own a Jeep, you're going to mechanic. If you plan on sending your kids to college, don't buy a Jeep. I'm driving it down here today because I loaned my truck out, and I'm thinking, oh, I hope it makes it. I've done everything on that thing, and I'm going to do some more, evidently. But I'm just saying, I used to mechanic. It was back before the fuel injection days. It tells you how old I am. And we used to have people bringing their car into the shop because they wouldn't run. They just wouldn't run good. And all we would do is get in their car, and I enjoyed this part. I'd take them out on Highway 15, and I would just top those cars out. And when I would gun that car, I'd look in the rearview mirror and black smoke was going everywhere because the carburetor was filled with soot, and all they needed to do get out of town a little bit and drive that car, and they wouldn't have got a bill from me, but I'm glad they brought it to me. I'm going to tell you, when we get sluggish as a Christian, it's time that we have revival. Thank God you're having an overflow moment, a meeting. It's time that we need the Holy Ghost to come in the midst of us, that we get revived once again for Jesus' kingdom. We need it, folks. I know my people get tired of listening to me. So I bring people in every now and then to shake them up. And they say, oh, they preach so good. And I think, well, why don't you ever tell me I preach good? But anyhow, but that's just a pastor problem. But we need it. We need revival. We need freshness from heaven. In the book of Acts, it speaks of this. When you get saved, you get in line for those times of refreshing that come down from the Holy Spirit. My friend, we are Pentecostal churches. We are Pentecostal people. And we need more of the Holy Ghost to come down upon us, to revive us and stir us up. Oh, we get filled up so we go out and tell people about Jesus. That's what we want. All of us become sluggish, but we need revival moments in our life. You know, Colossians 3:1 says this. I love this scripture. I love to preach it. It says, if you were raised with Christ. How many of you have been raised with Christ this morning or this evening? Hallelujah. Then listen to what it says. Seek those things which are above. Hallelujah. Which Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father. Set your mind on things which are above, not on things on this earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him. I love that if you've been saved, we are to seek those things which are above. We are to disconnect ourselves. I realize we have to live in this world, but we don't have to be part of this world. If we're going to have an overflow, the more you get out of the world, the more you're going to get into the presence of the Lord. That's what we need in our lives. Last thing is get a lively mentor. Get somebody that's going to pour into your life. Verse 12 says that. It says, look for those that have been proven. Look for those. You can read Hebrews chapter 11. You'll find that what we call the faith chapter. And you see all those mighty stories. But can I tell you, we have men and women in our churches that have lived. They've been through things. Get a mentor that can help. Get a hold of somebody. Watch their lives. And are they on fire for God? Get close to them. I mean, Elijah couldn't shake Elisha. He says, you stay here. And Elijah said, no. Why? Because Elisha seen something in Elijah that he wanted. And he kept going after him. He told him three times, I believe it is, you stay here, but he kept going. And when God took Elijah up in that chariot of fire, he found out that he got the double portion. Why would, if he would have stayed, it wouldn't have happened. But I'm going to tell you, if we want to make it and we want to grow in the Lord, we need to seek more of God's people that have the anointing and fire upon them. Why are you on fire for God? Because we can learn from our elders and learn from them. Don't let them intimidate you. Get up and say, I want what you got. Amen? Let it be part of our lives. They will help us to grow in the Lord. When I first got saved, I was a nuisance. I'm still a nuisance to some people. I got saved, and my poor pastor, I always got up at 5:30 or 5 o'clock and now, see, well, he's at church at 7. I just go by and bother him. I wasn't a pastor. And I didn't realize he's trying to study for a message. So you got some coffee going on. And Sunday morning, I'd be at the church at 7. What are you doing? And now that I'm pastor, I know what he was doing. I drive by his house. And I think, I ought to just drop in and say hi. My daughter, for my birthday this last couple of weeks back, she had people write a little deal in my book for me. My pastor, he wrote something. He says, I remember how you came by, and it always seemed when my wife was cooking hot roast that you showed up. You know, you can have two type of hunger, right? Spiritual and flesh. Oh, she could cook some hot roast, though. But I'm just saying, I was a nuisance, but why was I doing that? I just got pulled out of the depths of hell, the miry clay, and God had put my feet upon the rock. And I'm going to tell you, a horrible pit, and I was saved, reborn, guilt took away, and I was wanting somebody to pour in me. I loved what I seen in my pastor, and I wanted what he had. This is what's been spoke of in Hebrews. Find you somebody. Be a nuisance to him. Be a nuisance to Pastor Oliver. I just want all of y'all to be a nuisance to him. Because, see, we grow that way. I'm going to tell you another one, and then I'm just about done. It's we need Christ as our mentor. John chapter 7, verse 37 and 39. I said on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And we know the next verse speaks of he was speaking of the Holy Spirit. That those who believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was yet given, but is going to be gave. And he said, come unto me. I'm going to tell you, if you want a mentor, I couldn't have a brother pastor all that time, but Jesus is there available 24/7. And he says, come unto me. And he says, out of me, amen, out of me, out of your belly is going to flow rivers. Can I tell you, that says if I come to the source, if I come to the source of the river, I'm going to have the Holy Ghost flowing out of me, overflowing in my life, because Jesus is going to anoint me with that Holy Ghost of the, and it's going to flow. Hallelujah. Going to continue to flow. Everything, listen, everything that we do should flow out of Christ. This pulpit should flow out of Christ. Our relationships should flow. Because what it says, life flows out of him. And he said, I've come to give you life. I've come to give you life abundantly. Everything should flow from him. If my preaching gets dry, I need to get close to God. Amen. I need to get close to the Lord. Overflowing. Folks, I don't want to be that person that says, I've been there, done that. And every one of us go through a time in our life that we get a little complacent. We have a little apathy. But if we're going to see revival happen in our churches, if I'm going to see it at San Jacinto, our people is going to have to get on their knees and we're going to start seeking God. Come on, overflow doesn't, it doesn't just happen because we throw something up on a screen. It takes work. Every man and woman of God that have been really used by God, paid the price. Paid the price for it. It doesn't just happen. Listen, I often watch the stock market. It hadn't been fun until the last 3 or 4 days. And I'll read different reports of what they're projecting. Sure enough, when this Israel and America thing against Iran happened, it messed it up. But also, I've noticed a lot of the projections that they have are wrong. Amen? I wish. I was at Panhandle State College and in a computer class. Back, how many young people remember the floppies? I was learning how to program and write their own programs before the Windows came out and stuff. And the lady's husband came in and he was teaching economics and he was going to give us a free lesson. And he told this young guy, this guy back then, he says, if you're going to invest in anything, invest in Walmart. I said, Walmart? Who's ever heard of that? Well, I wish I would have listened to him because he was right. But I'm saying there's a lot of projections that are not right. And I believe tonight what they're projecting about the church and the decline of the church, I believe that it can be totally wrong if we have a move of the Holy Ghost, if we have a move of God's people once again getting on fire for God. We can see an amazing thing happen in the church once again. All the pioneers before us went and they started churches, planted churches, and seen people saved. Why not us? Because what they say has nothing to do with what God will do if we will but do what the Lord's asked. Revival individually and revival in the church. We do need an overflow in our lives. Amen? Praise the Lord.